This week on The Breezy Breakfast, we are joined by Donna Evans, General Manager of Culture and Recreation at the City of Guelph. She outlines and discusses plans for Guelph's 200th birthday. She also fields many suggestions from the Rowdy Breakfasters. Guelph turns 200 in 2027. Many residents are excited and concerned that we should have the best birthday celebration ever. Many ideas were offered, everything from a bridge honoring a former city councillor to a list of 200 things for which Guelph should be proud of. This is also the first hybrid Breezy Breakfast that we have held, and we are proud to say it was a success. Everything from the breakfast served by our favorite waitress Bev at the Rise and Shine restaurant to the discussions and the sound quality were to our satisfaction. Now over to our moderator, Phil.
Good morning to everybody who is here and everybody who is attempting our hybrid experiment today. Welcome to Breezy Breakfast. Today we're joined by Donna Evans from the City of Guelph, and we're here for what I think is a fairly special event, and that is brainstorming on Guelph's 200th. We have a number of questions that we've already had sent in, and Tanya and Morgan will be handling those, and we will get those to Donna. I'm going to be really carefully experimenting with how we get those to Donna, so I think it's probably better if we state them right now rather than they'd be asked by the individuals. Before we begin, I would like to read Guelph's territorial acknowledgement, which I'm taking from our strategic plan, which we're in the process of revising. We are reminded that Guelph is situated on treaty land that is steeped in rich Indigenous history and home to many First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people today. As a city, we have a responsibility for the stewardship of the land on which we live and work. We acknowledge the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation of the Anishinaabeg peoples on whose traditional territory we are situated. And with that, I'm going to pass this over to Donna, but first a couple of words that I think are fairly important. First of all, we're back in Rise and Shine, formerly Breezy Breakfast, and I would like to extend on behalf of the Breezy Breakfast group our most sincere condolences to Bev, the world's best waitress, on the passing of her sister, who passed away suddenly about 3 weeks ago. I know that we all extend our condolences to Bev and wish her the best in this very sad time for her and for her family. I'd also like to thank Warren Warren Gregg for having suggested that we do this. I think that we are beginning to kickstart Guelph's 200th birthday in a very positive fashion in downtown, basically the historic footprint of Guelph. And we are starting it with Donna Evans, who has come to us from the City of Guelph and who's really responsible for skippering this endeavor. Remember today that everything goes. And so any ideas that you have, Donna is quite willing to listen to. And Donna, you don't have to take any notes while recording this.
Okay,
I'll take any notes for you. Without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Donna Evans.
Good morning. Hi to everybody online as well. Good morning, everyone. As Councillor Alt said, yes, I am Donna Evans. I'm the General Manager of Culture and Recreation with the City of Guelph. I'm excited to talk to you about the 200th anniversary or bicentennial for 2027. Feels like it is a century away, but in fact, no, fast and furious. And of course, glad to talk about it today. We're in good timing as we, from a staff perspective, look to align a four-year, multi-year budget. Happy to certainly to hear from you. Yes, it is the good timing as staff look to input some budget requests to council. So ahead of us, we're inputting those now for council review later in the fall. 2027 is a part of that multi-year budget. So like I said, sort of good timing. Great opportunity to also align some pre-planning. We'd like to set up sort of community committee or sort of working group in 2025, really to start some of that planning into 2026, to know that we would kickstart some activities then in the beginning of 27. For us at the moment, we see it as a Guelph for Guelph celebration, not necessarily a opportunity or desire to look at it from a federal and provincial sort of reputation piece. Definitely opportunity for tourist opportunities as we create assets, but Guelph for Guelph community residents. And that, from my perspective as a staff member, aligns to a municipal budget ask. And so it's easier for me to ask for taxpayer dollars, really, when I'm going to support and really showcase Guelph for those residents. The city won't do it alone, can't do it alone, doesn't want to do it alone. So lots of great opportunities for partnerships and developments and involvement. Certainly hearing some great ideas from you folks today is not the first and won't be the last. We have set up a Have Your Say, which is our community engagement platform online. So should you think of things as they come along, that's a great outlet. And I will share that link with Tanya so she can have it, but certainly a good old Google search, Have Your Say Guelph, will get you to some input and opportunity there. We're really thinking about the celebration in some bigger, broader themes at the moment. So definitely those event type opportunities, whether that's, you know, adding to existing festivals and opportunities, if it's adding concerts, if it's just adding to branding pieces, or if it's creating new works, new stories, new songs, new tours, new anything. We are looking at some of that, what I'm sort of calling action pieces. So a little bit more on the environmental. My friends in parks would really love an opportunity for 200 trees, 200 something. Is it 200 days of? There's some great opportunities there when we look at the 200th anniversary. Definitely we'll see some promotional support sort of led by the city, some branding, some centralizing of what the celebration looks like. Again, not doing it all on our own, but looking across the room at Jay, great opportunity. I'm sure he'll take part in some way. And so can we help promote and showcase already great existing work? Definitely looking at some of that naming and commemoration, definitely that legacy piece. Public art is already dreaming of large public art that will hold a larger legacy piece to recognize the 200th anniversary, but also not to forget what was here before. There were folks here 200 before the naming of Guelph, and we don't want to lose track of that and that storytelling and commemoration as well. And then sort of finally, but not to be exclusive, we anticipate some additional granting. So we want to be able to help. That will certainly be our proposal to council. We want to be able to help those new opportunities for other organizations. And so whether that is groups and trails and new signage and anything, or if it is around on the festival events side of things in the community as well. So just in the beginning gathering stage, but we won't have a fully fleshed out plan or list of events. We won't have an opportunity to do anything more than this brainstorming piece before we have to submit pieces in for budget. So some high level opportunities there. I'm looking at a good, better, and best. I have no sense about how much money we might receive. There's great feedback and great involvement from council, and certainly from the community helps as well. So do we think city council will support 200,000? 20,000, 2 million, I have no idea. I really don't. So, Phil, you can look out for a good, better, and best coming your way. I think it's a great way to give some opportunities and sort of outline what that might, those things might sort of look like. So I think that's a high level of where we're at. Certainly some pieces around the trail connectivity. And I would challenge you for a good, better, and best on that opportunity as well, because I think some of those ideas moving waterfalls is on the expensive side, but not necessarily lost on the connectivity trail creation side. And our friends in parks are definitely very engaged. And some of these things will appear in different places as well across the corporation. What can we expect to see ceremonies and around protocols? So no direct ceremonies, no sort of defined protocol at this point. We would certainly engage with the community group that we would enlist sort of in that call for interest in that 2025 range. Committee structure, area of responsibilities, not definitely defined at this point, open and happy to be and hear a part of those things, but coming to us in that sort of 2025 range. What would we expect from appointments for marketing budget, fundraising, sponsorship, volunteer coordinators, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that will be budget defined for sure, depending on our good, better, or best, how much the city can staff those positions. Definitely lots of opportunity in our already existing staffing to take these leads. When we look specifically from culture, we would be doing events anyway, so we'll expand that to be very focused on the bicentennial, as well as when we talk about trails and parks and active transportation. There's lots of great work already happening, and this would align to some of that. So there is some of those resources there. to other organizations as they partner to then also have these resources. So if there was some granting funding, it might expand some of that marketing. If there is an event already happening, then there's already volunteer coordinators and resources in place as well. So no real defined exact answer on that question, I think, is what I'm saying. What to expect in the sense of participation from lots of other partners, whether that's county, city, provincial, federal, other provinces that might be celebrating the same thing. Absolutely open to have any funding from provincial and federal levels of government. Happy. For me, again, we're sort of focusing on the Guelph for Guelph, so I don't see them having a whole lot of interest. But that being said, there is other ways to align this. There is infrastructure funding, there is celebration arts festival funding, there is Creative Cities funding, there is potentially Music City funding. There's other ways that then the added bonus is that we're using it as an opportunity to celebrate Guelph's 200. What are we expecting in coordinated participation from other groups? So large, whether that's school boards or churches or the university or chamber, happy, lovely, hope they will come along for the party and have some key representation on what that community sort of leadership council of sorts might look like. It really is dependent on them. And so hopefully there's enough notice that when we start to kickstart some stuff in 2025. What can we expect to see from marketing and media coordinations? So I hope that the city can have a role in sort of coordinating specifically to the arts community. We hear a lot about a centralized location for events or event listings. So following some of that model that doesn't formally exist in the arts and culture world right now, but following that concept of a model, is there one place where community members can go to find out what's happening? You know, in a perfect world, in a good, better, and best, in that best model, there is something every day of 365 days a year that we can post that is included. Some of that may be learning, some of that might be linked to magazines and promotion, some of it might be to event pieces. So that would be the high level piece. We'd love to sort of take that on and spearhead that in partnership with the community.
Thank you very much for a very succinct introduction. I know that we have a number of people who have a number of different ideas here, and I have some that I have to get off my phone. But the first thing that I really want to point out is that this is great. Many times I hear from people within the community that say that our efforts to consult people are sometimes rather formulaic. And this is an opportunity right now for us to have a significant brainstorm on some ideas. I saw, Brian, that you had a comment about John Galt.
First of all, though, before I talk about John Galt Day, it occurred to me several years back, pre-COVID, there was a collaboration between the Guelph Museums and Woodlawn Cemetery with the Spirit Walks. And there were several of those. They declined in years as far as the number of spirits that were dug up, so to speak, but I'm quite sure that they would be very, very interested in those. Going back to the 175th anniversary, Queen Victoria was here. She came in with an entourage. Do you remember that? Yes. And there was quite a crowd down at the River Run. This was before John Galt. This was the 175th birthday. Okay. Then what happened very quickly, there was a play at the mall, and there was a play called Gifts of Time, where John Galt and Tiger Dunlop first appeared. Whatever happened, John Galt Day became a thing, and John Galt obviously was part of this along with Tiger. And how many people did we have that day? Was that 10,000 people came out and joined the parade from the old city hall down to the River Run, where they planted a tree and watered it with one of John's bottles that he had in his wagon. Tiger Dunlop. I forgot who that was. Anyway, I think that over the years, it seems interesting in Galt, and that has waned a little. I think it should be resurrected. I think that that should be brought back in a bigger way. Some of the arguments that were held at the time, such as Leanne Piper having to argue with me that she was a councillor and not a councillor's wife, and having a female mayor coming from somebody from that era was unheard of. So, but it sparked interest and it taught people a lot about Guelph. So I really think that they need to be brought back and used, formulated. I'm too old to be John Galt. Besides, he was too rough for me. He was a horse thief, impersonator, a traitor, a lot of other things. No wonder the only street in town that's named after him goes from a slaughterhouse to this town dump. So anyway, that's something.
As many of you know, Brian's from Australia, so I think he probably did have the horse thief in him.
It's all a part of the story, both from the tree dropping, but and what was happening here beforehand. So hope to be able to capture that. Hope to be able to capture that as well. It's Susan Guelph Fest. Is that what was that the name of what Brian's talking about from Jungle Day? And did that include the beds? Unhistorically, was there a bed chasing race down Woolwich Street? No. Okay, I don't know where that's coming from then, but that would be fun. Unrelated to history, I'm sure.
Thank you very much. And with that, I'm going to go to Mike Darman. Mike has had some ideas about how to make Guelph better for active transportation. And I think he's probably going to offer those to us right now.
Thanks, Phil. So the idea is, actually, it's not a Guelph Coalition for Active Transportation idea. It's an idea that Bob Bell, the late councillor Bob Bell, visioned for the Macdonnell Bridge and the Trans-Canada Trail. So it's an underpass vision going underneath the current Macdonnell Bridge. And the idea is that we can actually have a much safer connection going actually underneath the bridge and trying to cross the road at that horrible intersection. The vision actually has several advantages in that it actually creates a better flood control area. Currently, the bridge is actually very low right now. So in flood conditions, for instance, the water level is very close to the bottom of the bridge. So it would involve moving the dam upstream more towards the river run center. And that would give the headroom available for an underpass underneath that bridge. From an active transportation perspective, of course, it would make the whole trail connection much more pleasant. And from tourism, you can just imagine visually how beautiful this vision would look downtown. So I think there's huge advantages to this vision, like myself. And, you know, it's the 200th anniversary. We should be really bold with our vision. I mean, 200 trees is great, but something really spectacular for downtown Guelph, I think, is what we need to do for 200th anniversary. I don't know if we can actually I think we got to go all or nothing on this one. You either do it or you don't do it. Okay. So, yeah. I was talking to the project engineer just the other day, actually, and they are actually going to consider it. Downtown renewal is happening right now, and we presented this vision of what maybe we could do for downtown as well. And the Allen's Dam and the Macdonnell Bridge is under study right now as part of the downtown renewal. So they're going to include it in the next round of public engagement. So you'll see it there as an option. So I hope everybody
The question came from those concerned about culture, and I think it's an important one. Would we be willing to tear something down that has a heritage value? And I think that's a very good question. I'm sure that's not Mike's intention at all, but I think that what we do need to recognize is that we're looking at all ideas to assess them, to assess not just good, better, and best, but also determine the viability and whether the basically... what I've always said is the law of unintended consequences sometimes comes in, and perhaps that's one of the things that we need to consider. So I'm going to just ask you, Mike, are you going to destroy Susan's cherished heritage?
Actually, Phil, I'm not sure what heritage she's actually speaking about.
The dam.
The dam is falling apart right now. Well, you could. You can't see it right now. The Allen's Bridge above it, I guess there's a bit of confusion about what the Allen's Bridge and the Macdonnell Bridge is. I'm still not quite sure myself, but the Macdonnell Bridge is going to be replaced, and I think there's still questions about whether they can save the original bridge that was there. The whole area is going to have to be ripped up, and I'm not to be honest, Susan, I don't see the heritage myself in that dam, but, and you can't even see it, so.
And remember, as I said, this is a free-for-all in some senses, although I definitely don't want it to be the World Wrestling Federation. One of the things that we need to recognize is that perhaps one person's heritage is not another person's, but think about it this way as well. Perhaps one person's wildlife is another person's invasive species as well. So we will assess everything, but we don't have any answers at this point. Now, John, you wanted to come up and raise a couple of questions. So let's hear from John.
Hello, everybody. My name is John Parkin. I've been involved in bicentennial project. I've been involved in a bicentennial project for 18 years now. I shudder to put a number to it. It's the digitization of a 1927 bunker edition of the Mercury. But it's ongoing. Anyhow, I'm not telling you that to show off. I'm telling you that because time is of the essence. Before I proceed, I want to ask a question. After John Galt and John McCrae, who would you rank your third most famous graphite? Don't tell me, we'll come back to that in a little while. How many of you remember a publication called The Book of Lists? It was very popular in the 1970s and 80s. By Wolesensky and Wallace. For a few years now, the idea of graph lists has been bouncing around in my brain. In a way, lists can provide a skeleton or basis of graph history, a guide. Using both the 200 theme and public input, how about creating lists of graph people, places, things, events? I've got a bulleted list here, but I'm not going to read all of that. All right? Below are umpteen possible list titles. Taken as a whole, the list will show the depth, breadth, and richness of Guelph's people, places, things, and events. Put the list online. Printing desired, but not essential. Over time, if desired, thumbnails. 60-word limit could be appended to some, many, most of the people, places, things, and events. A reference or two, or three. In so doing, we have the makings of an ongoing online, wait for it, online Guelphopedia or Guelph Almanac, a ready reference that citizens can consult. 200 great Guelphites, 200 Guelphites, 200 Wellingtonians, 200 men, 200 women, 200 early settlers, 200 movers and shakers, 200 writers / journalists, so there they are. 200 factory owners, mill owners, 200 business owners, 200 architects, builders, tradespeople, 200 performers, actors, singers, musicians, dancers, 200 artists, 200 athletes, 200 sports people. There's a difference between athletes and sports people. 200 both buildings, 200 residences, 200 designated buildings, 200 buildings that no longer exist, 200 growth factories / mills, 200 shops, stores, malls, 200 banks, financial institutions, 200 public places, 200 aspects regarding transportation, 200 markers, memorials, plaques, 200 parks, spaces, squares, sports and rec facilities, 200 community centers, halls, cinemas, entertainment centers, 200 publications / newspapers, 200 sources, rebuff. Just a few more and I'll shut up. 200 inns, taverns, hotels, 200 reminiscences. It's amazing if you go back to the old Mercuries, how many people have their reminiscences there. 200 sports teams, 200 community events, such as Old Home Week, 200 disasters, natural and otherwise. So back to my original question. Who's Guelph's third greatest Guelphite? Answers, please. Come on.
Susan Radcliffe.
I think you found the one at a time. Susan Radcliffe.
Brian Holstein.
Brian Holstein.
Dan Harvey. Norm Jerry.
Norm Jerry.
Edward Johnson.
Edward Johnson.
Yeah. Arthur Cutten.
Arthur Cutten.
Robert Munch.
Robert Munch. Gene Middle. Thank you for your patience.
Lovely.
And thank you very much for an incredibly extensive list. And we also have Jay, a local storyteller. Jay is going to be walking right up here right now with his ideas. And then I have some questions from a fellow online, Gord. I might ask you, Gord, to speak your questions or I can speak them for you.
So thank you very much, Phil. What's intrigued me about what's going on here today is that we've heard a number of things. Of course, people are going to expect me to talk about arts and culture, but I'm actually hearing some interesting ideas of why don't we try and solve some problems? In other words, if we're going to celebrate Guelph's 200th anniversary, I wonder if we could solve the problem of climate change or homelessness or some of the key things. The other thing I'd like to see happen is I'd like to ensure that we engage as many people as possible. I see an awful lot of white people here. I see an awful lot of non-Indigenous people here. We need to hear those stories too, I think. Yes, I do think that we want something big, really big, in terms of arts and culture. Susan Ratcliffe is suggesting we invite the king. I think that's a wonderful idea. We show our place off, absolutely. I'd also like to see a resident theater company in our theater. It's great to build a building, but now we need to operate that building. So that's a real opportunity to create telling Guelph's story to the world, something called cultural tourism. So it's not just for the people of Guelph, but the people of the world to come and see what Guelph is all about. There's also an interesting thing, as I was talking to some other people, they said, well, you know, really nice to touch base with local people, children specifically, and ask them what it means to live in Guelph. What does Guelph mean to you? Because I think that that starts to do some visioning about where we're going to be in 21, 27. Thanks very much.
Well done.
Thank you very much, Jay. Some fairly thought-provoking questions and concerns.
I was at the Y the other day and saw this thing about the what we're talking about today, and spoke to the guy who runs the coffee shop there, Adnan Khan, and man, oh man, oh man, what an enthusiastic response I got. He immediately said, oh yeah, we can do something here. And he was talking about placemats with history and stuff over time, past and current, and just educational kind of stuff about Guelph that could be put out to all the restaurants, and just, you know, that they could have on the day, they could have some kind of a celebration right in the Y, and he would put stuff on for it. So I was really surprised and a source of a lot more information and enthusiasm should we tap people like that. The presentation that Peter Victor did at Dublin Street United Church two Mondays ago. And then we had people talking again this Monday, all kinds of stuff related to climate change and the future that is going to be probably a hell of a lot more evident to us in 2027 than it is today. And I think Guelph is doing good stuff on that, and we need to be prepared to demonstrate, and I hope have made enough progress that we can be leaders and seen as leaders in climate change.
Invite school boards to have relevant activities for students, display materials for restaurants you mentioned, develop and distribute materials throughout the city to raise people's awareness of our history from 1827 to the present, target the distribution 2025 and 2026, and review, consolidate, plan final presentation from awareness and knowledge building late 2026. I think what that's meaning is that once we get all these ideas together, data, that we present them to the community, so the community is an anticipation of what will happen on April 25th, 2027. These events should focus on the accomplishments and resilience of Guelph in an ever-changing world. And I think that we certainly can identify that that's something that Guelph is very famous for. We tend to bounce back just as we are right now with Conestoga College helping to anchor along with the library downtown revitalization. Now, one of the things that I'm going to just offer my suggestion, Adam, and it comes from John's earlier suggestion about the third most famous Guelph lake. We have three Nobel Prize recipients in Guelph. And it strikes me that what we should be doing is looking at some way of honoring those individuals, the contributions that they've made to the worlds of science, arts, literature, economics are fairly important. James Orbinski receiving the Nobel Peace Prize for Medicine Sans Frontières is something that very few people in Guelph know about. People know about Donna Strickland and her work in physics. And of course, we have a world famous economist amongst us as well. All of those things are things perhaps are as worthy of celebrating as perhaps John McCrae's poem or Edward Johnson's incredible voice or James Gordon's guitar.
I think it's all about the story. It's all about the last 200 years and last 200 plus years that definitely through, you know, concept of lists or otherwise, there's a great opportunity to make sure that Guelph knows all about Guelph.
One of those suggestions you read earlier was our history from 200 years on. I think we also need to go back and see. We make a land acknowledgement at every meeting we have.
I think one message we'd like to send to the city, to Anna, who's in charge of the budget, is 2025 is way too late. Way too late. It has to start now or yesterday. We just won't get the things done in that time. It just won't. So I'd like to offer three possibilities from the past. This is a picture from the Tribune, our much lamented lost paper and our Mercury of this Guelph Centennial Old Home Week. So to go beyond what Dana said, why aren't we going to invite every single person who lived in Guelph over the years back for a celebration, a parade, a party to celebrate. Secondly, this is a picture of His Royal Highness Ernst August Andreas Philip Constantine, he has many more names, the Prince of Great Britain and Ireland, the Duke of Brunswick and Lindbergh. He is a descendant of the Guelph family in Europe. And so why aren't we inviting someone from the Guelph family to come to Guelph? He's from the ancestors of the kings of England. So I think the king should be here. We are the royal city after all. And the third thing, although I have a whole file folder of stuff, the third thing is that our wonderful brand new library may be opening in April 2027. And Guelph has the oldest free library in Ontario. So there's an opportunity. We've had a library in Guelph since the 1840s. And so that certainly should be part of it, is a library party. Just because I work at the library. That's so that's beginning, Phil. We've got lots more ideas.
So I'm going to bring up a couple of things that have been talked about in the past that nobody's brought up again. Most of these are from Warren. One of the things that Warren suggested is the potential of holding one of the major curling events here. So that needs to be done 3 years in advance. The application needs to go in 3 years in advance for the Scotties Tournament of Hearts, which is the only one which is the highest level of the curling world that we're able to sustain because of the minimum number of people that are required, or the minimum number of seats that are required to host one of those. And then the other thing that Warren has talked quite a bit about is, where are we going to put a friendship center? If we're going to be highlighting the fact that Guelph didn't just start 200 years ago, wouldn't it be great to open a friendship center that year?
Thank you. I just want to respond to the curling suggestion because it's a great one. And it's an open secret because the curling club has already let it out. But Guelph will be hosting the Grand Slam of Curling in 2025. The Grand Slam of Curling will be a precursor to any possibility that Guelph will look at some of the international curling competitions. One of the things that's important about this is that in order to get credibility for some of the even more spectacular curling events, we have to host something like this first and prove our mettle. The curling club rather secretly was going about this for some time and announced it to their membership about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's an exciting time. It will book up virtually every hotel in Guelph and will receive international recognition for Guelph. Dana has been involved in it, but I want to take the heat on us because we were originally asked not to make any announcements, but the curling club precluded us quite some time ago.
I'm very excited to, yeah, secretly, unofficially let the cat out of the bag there. We'll be at Sleeman Center, so we've been involved in that perspective. Very much an example of a partnership where we need a specialty organization to lead that. We heard as well about the opportunity for the Memorial Cup through the OHL. Very much need the Guelph Storm to be a strong partner or a leader in that work. They're not just going to let the city of Guelph or Warren or Brian have the Memorial Cup. So certainly tapping on those organizations that can spearhead that is certainly strong and powerful.
Perhaps one of the things Guelph could do related to sports is reprise Guelph's World Championship from the 19th century. Maybe it's time to look at some sort of a an inspiring inter-county or otherwise baseball tournament for Guelph's 200. This is something that Guelph is quite proud of at one point. And other than Beachville, Ontario, there has been no other city that I understand other than Guelph and Beachville that have won the World Championship of Baseball, which precluded the World Series. Some people even call it the Guelph's World Series win.
And
yeah, just before it was called the World Series. I'm pretty proud of that one. It's a good one. Dan, I was wondering about a working group and have your say. I was wondering if you could just break down how people could get more involved on perhaps a more formal level, or if that hasn't even been envisioned yet.
Group community partnership certainly hasn't been defined from a roles and responsibility point of view. On a much smaller scale, the museum led some community engagement and sort of committee work linked to Guelph's 190. And so we'll take that as some foundation and come forward. Definitely more to say. Gathering that high level idea piece through the city's engagement platform of Have Your Say, which is a link we will share, but also a good Google piece. My hope is at least to gain some sort of framework about how much funding are we talking about. Anything is nothing is locked in. Then taking those resources, expanding and creating those partnerships in order to develop an actual action plan.
Thank you. I'm going to keep going with a couple of other questions. You had mentioned big, better, and best. Being realistic and being the person that has to approve a budget, what kind of funding do you think that we can expect for this? Remembering that for every $2.5 million that we are willing to spend, we're increasing the city's budget by 1%.
I honestly probably would flip that question back to you. I don't have a sense yet about what the threshold is, even from my managers, my executive team. What are they willing to sort of put out there? That's why I thought, having heard so much, it was important to give council as much information as possible. And that's where that good, better, and best sort of model came from. My friends at Public Art thought $1 million would be great yesterday. And so, but there's so much more out there that I don't think that that's quite realistic, but I don't know, Phil.
Okay, we're going to hear from the man with deep pockets now. Brian Scared has just announced that he's going to fund the whole thing.
I have deep pockets with very short arms. Just a quick question that We did have a big celebration for our 150th, which is certainly less significant than the 200th. Do we know what the budget was for the city to celebrate our 150th? I think we should take that as a baseline, multiply by 30% and adjust for inflation. There you go. Give that back to the council.
Good reference. Sorry. Will there be an appeal to businesses
and industries to donate?
Absolutely. Donations, sponsorship, absolutely happy. Don't know whether folks are looking from a sponsorship point of view. Does somebody want to tag on to the concept of bicentennial celebration or onto individual events? But absolutely, sponsorship is a great opportunity in partnership and collaboration and exposure for Guelph as well.
I'm looking at Councillor Caton, and she had raised an issue that I think is really important. Erin said one of her concerns is the question of celebrating colonization and colonialism. And I think that what we are working to do is celebrate a balance between settler history and the indigenous history as well. I think that's what you're getting at. Is it, Erin?
Yes. Like, I know that Guelph's 200 is literally based on, you know, when basically white people got here. And I don't want that to necessarily just be the focus. I think that there was a rich culture here before Guelph became Guelph. And I think that the combination of where it was, what's happened, and where we are now, and what a vibrant community that we are now is really what we need to celebrate. Because I don't want, sometimes when you get stuck in the past, it's very limiting. And I think that where we are now is pretty amazing. We do so many great things. Like, I moved here specifically because we are such a diverse group. And I want to celebrate how much better we can be when we are more inclusive.
And I want to point out right now that Warren Gregg and I had talked at length about the possibility of the Lawn Bowling Club being perhaps converted into some sort of a recognition and acknowledgement of the life of the indigenous communities pre-Guelph. And this comes from Warren, who was president of the Lawn Bowling Club, I believe, believing that this was an initiative that could be pursued. Dana, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you have any comments on? Dana agrees. This is a good start, Warren. And again, kudos to the Lawn Bowling Club. Now I'm going to pass the microphone over to Morgan. Scott here has some very interesting ideas that she wants to read from the Facebook chat event.
Now, Scott's been entering some stuff into the chat. So one of the things he recommended that really caught my attention was the last one, a celebration of arts festival at the OR Lance. So that sounds pretty good. And then there were a couple other ones. Oh, he was talking about using the train station as an information center and transportation hub, and potentially making a DVD for people to purchase. And when it comes to famous wall fights, he says, we can't forget Frank Hasenfratz. So those are the things that Scott was sharing.
Thank you very much. And Dan, I think that we've covered a tremendous amount of territory today. And I think we've given you a number of different ideas that we can take back, we can digest, and we can come up with some various themes that we can deal with. We've got 4 years until we've got to get this thing on the road. I want to thank everybody for their ideas. Before we conclude, though, I first of all want to bring up Brian Holstein and then Mike to do a couple of comments and announcements.
The idea of a baseball game, who knows, maybe some Blue Jays might come here for a game against the Royals. As far as something significant, maybe some other level of government might be able to build something for us. Maybe not a science center, but a reconstruction of Guelph's home. Speaking of Guelph history, one of the people who is great, a great raconteur of this is Jay, of Jay Walking Guelph. If you want to hear more of Jay and one of his stories, you can come to the Civic Museum on May the 11th to the free Tales from the Hill storytelling.
he's there. He will also be at Tea and Tales in the park on June the 30th, along with Brad Woods. That program's going to be announced later, but Jay will be telling, you're probably going to tell a story about Gwalt, right?
One or two.
I figured, yeah. That's Thursday the 11th, 7 p.m. It's free, as always. Bob Munch will be telling a story, as usual.
Thanks, Brad. And I would urge everybody in the warm days of summer to please get down to Riverside Park for at least one tale and one cup of tea. I'm going to move to Mike and then to Susan Ratcliffe for a couple of announcements, and then Bob.
Thanks, Phil. As everybody probably knows already, Doors Open Guelph is this weekend on Saturday. And I hope we didn't get into a feud with Heritage Guelph. So we're going to actually have GCAP is going to have some guided walking and biking tours of various sites. And the walking tour will be mostly downtown. And there's a central tour and a southern tour, like the south of Guelph has got some interesting sites too, right, Susan? So the good thing is, though, we'll have front of line access. So if anybody's interested, they should register as soon as possible for that. Thanks.
Isn't he nice? He started my announcement. This Saturday, April 29th, closest to Guelph's birthday, and the first Doors Open in Ontario every year is Doors Open Guelph. So right here, you can walk down the street and see the Sovereign and the Petrie, and then walk up Windham Street and see the Dominion Public Building. We also have the most spectacular building in Guelph will be open to you. That's the Gurdwara and the mosque and Sleeman Brewery's two buildings, the brewery in Onclair Road, which has the most beautiful museum of Sleeman artifacts, and the Springmill Distillery. So we have 10 buildings, and I can't forget the hiking club with trails open. Has anyone ever been to the Kettle Lakes in the south end of Guelph?
I have.
So the hiking club will be leading the trails open there. So please come out. I don't want to say bring your umbrella. Sunshine on Doors Open. It's going to be a wonderful beginning for our 23rd year of Doors Open in Guelph.
Thanks, Susan.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to remind people that the day of mourning is this Friday, April 28th, and we will be having a ceremony to acknowledge those who are injured or killed on the job. It'll be 5:30 at Golden Mill Park. And I guess I'll remind people we're still working on the soapbox and hoping to have it ready for May 1st, but it will be there close to that as possible. Thanks.
Thank you, Juanita. The soapbox to which Juanita is referring is the one that in essence is in dedication to an old friend of mine, Alan Pickersgill, a political gadfly who wrote for the longest time for Guelph Tribune, played Scrabble like there was no tomorrow, and was one of the pioneers of health and safety in Ontario.
Two sentences, it's really for Donna. I think the so many great ideas, so many events, things that all should be part of this experience. And I think one of the logistical things is going to be setting a start date and a finish date, you know, so that all these events can be scheduled and coordinated in the city throughout. And obviously crescendoing in a big event sometime in that period. But John Galt Day, the 27th of April, is a good start date. And I got a thing in my head, but it might be too long, is maybe having it over a period of 200 days, which would finish it in late September. So it covers all the summer. And then we've got plenty of openings to actually fill to make the schedule, make it an experience for that duration. Thanks.
Great ideas there, Bob. Thank you very, very much. And we do have announcements. Before we do them, one of the real friends of Breezy Breakfast is not here, and that's Mike Marcolongo. Mike has been organizing a road cleanup, and I think Tanya might make more reference to this. That will be occurring on Saturday, just past Springfield Golf Course at the Big White Barn, which is the Marcolongo Farm. It begins at 10 o'clock until about noon, and after which there will be a picture taken of all the garbage collectors and the garbage. and a barbecue. Mike urges everyone to come out. I urge you to please bring your Wellingtons and please bring a pair of gloves. You never know what you're going to find there. But it would be a great opportunity for the community to come together to, pun intended, clean up our act. So, Tanya, it's you that's going to do the announcements, is it? No, I've got Morgan, just a second.
So I just got one really quick last one. Councillor Aaron Caton wanted everybody to know that the Guelph Symphony is at River Run this Saturday. Get your tickets. Over to you, Tanya.
Okay. We've got a committee of the whole meeting on Tuesday, May 2nd at 2 p.m. And on the agenda are the operating budget surplus report, the capital budget report, long-term reserves and debt. And Councillor Gawler has an item about e-scooters. Have your say. As Donna told us today, have your say about Guelph's bicentennial. Also, please have your say about civic engagement and how to increase it. There is a survey, please complete it by May 14th, and there will be some in-person meetings. Tuesday, May the 2nd at the Sheldale Center, Wednesday, May the 3rd at the Guelph Community Health Center, and Sunday, May the 7th at 9 Woodlawn Road East. And you've all heard about the Doors Open Guelph 2023. It is on April 29th from 10 to 4:30. And finally, next week on Breezy Breakfast, we will also be in person, and the subject is May Day with Bonnie Dirtnell, who is a resident Guelph historian, and Brian Holstein, who is a Guelph storyteller. And those are the announcements.
Thank you very much, Tanya. It's been truly a great experiment. It's been quite an experiment, I have to say. These Zoom hybrid meetings are interesting. I think I've got my 1,000 steps and finally finished my cold breakfast and my cold coffee. I want to thank all of you for having shown up. And those of you that are online, I think we've had a pretty good crowd. Looking forward, stealing a line from Guelph, looking forward to our progressive future while focusing on our historic past. Something that does come, I think, from the 150th sesquicentennial period. We're doing it again, and we couldn't do it without staff like Dana Evans being willing to reach out and attending events like this and listening well, taking people's comments and offering your own suggestions. I would also be remiss, first time that I've done this, but we do have both Guelph Today and the Guelph Tribune here. Without the newspapers promoting this, we would not be able to get the word out. So I want to thank both Graham and Richard for being in attendance. Guelph 200 matters. And it matters because we want to have a progressive vision for the future that engages all people, that pays attention to the environment, pays attention to culture, and is a good, safe place to live for a long, long time. Thanks everyone for coming out. We will see you next week for Storytelling and May Day. All the best.
Thanks for tuning in to our first hybrid Breezy Breakfast. Special thanks to Donna Evans for showing grace under pressure in front of a boisterous crowd. We'll be meeting in person again next week at the Rise and Shine restaurant, and we hope to see you there. Music is provided by Jules Germ. I'm Longfei, and I too produce this podcast in person. See you next week.